comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, the show where you matter. Big, big news, lots of things happening all around us today, some of them within our genre and some of them not, but big news, and we want to mention them here tonight. There's been a shooting at the Pentagon. A guy tried to get past the security police, and that didn't work, and he pulled out a gun and started shooting. They returned fire. Last I heard, the police are doing fine, not life-threatening injuries, but the shooter, the attacker, they said had much more serious injuries. I don't know if there's been an update within the past 30 minutes or so. Also, gigantic student demonstrations, protests in several states. And we haven't seen anything like this since the 1960s with the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. Big, big news. Perhaps the biggest news, though, for our genre is the fact that Sean David Morton, I think just about everyone has heard of Sean David Morton. Sean David Morton has been arrested, and he has been charged with securities fraud. According to George Canellos, director of the SEC's New York regional office, Morton's self-proclaimed psychic powers were nothing more than a scam to attract investors and steal their money. According to this report, in total, Mr. Morton raised more than $6 million from over 100 investors in 2006 and 2007. He invested about half of the funds with foreign currency trading firms. And then apparently the thing that's got him in hot water is he diverted some of the investor funds, including at least $240,000, into his and his wife's nonprofit religious organization called Prophecy Research Institute. I just got this report, and as of a few minutes ago, Mr. Morton is still in jail in Washington, D.C., I believe. Well, shocking news and disturbing. We do say in this country that a man is, when he's accused of a crime, is innocent, presumed to be innocent, until he's proven to be guilty. If these charges are proven against Mr. Morton, it is going to be even more shocking to the UFO paranormal community. I think just about everyone knows of Sean David Morton, and we'll follow that and see what happens with it. We'll be back after this break with Stuart Swerdlow. Funny business with the video there. That's what happens when you click the wrong button, you know? Pilot error. My guest this evening is someone that I think probably most of you are already familiar with, Stuart Swerdlow. And let me just say that, you know, I encourage you all the time to send me suggestions for topics and suggestions for guests. And, you know, we really do work at getting as much of what you suggest on the air as we can. And I have received several suggestions recently that we invite Stuart to be with us. And I don't know exactly why, if there even is a why, that I haven't invited him to be with us before. I guess pilot error is the cause of that, too. But Stuart Swerdlow is a very gifted medical intuitive. He is clairvoyant. He has the ability to see the auric fields and personal archetypes, as well as read DNA sequences and mind patterns. He also is one of the really rare individuals who was put through those programs, those projects at Montauk, and survived it. Stuart Swerdlow, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I am absolutely delighted that you're with us this evening.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Stuart, you know, there are the normal things that we had planned to talk about this evening, and we'll get to those. But, you know, I just want to get your impression, because you're someone who is clairvoyant. You're someone who sort of has the, well, not sort of, but you have the ability to pick up on things that many of us do not seem to have, at least we haven't developed that ability. So I want to throw a couple of things out and just get your impression on what in the world is going on. You know, we've got these stories about a Stargate that has opened up in the Gulf of Aden. We now have NASA photographs of the sun that show very, very large objects in orbit around our sun and very near the sun. We're having earthquakes all over the place that are devastating. We had a shooting at the Pentagon, a shootout at the Pentagon today, this afternoon. Massive student demonstrations in several Western states. And then this news report that just came out that Sean David Morton has been arrested for securities fraud. So let me just sort of throw that in your lap. And do you see any pattern? Do you see any, is there anything that's sort of linking these together?
Well, yes and no. And I'll try to get to each of those topics. Interesting, the first one you mentioned, the so-called Stargate in the Gulf of Aden.
Uh-huh.
I have written about that on my website, and I must say it is really not a Stargate. What's going on there is that in the Horn of Africa and in that point of the Arabian Peninsula, what's going on is that a new sea or part of an ocean is forming. This is because of a tectonic plate failure on the African continent, which in actuality, the African tectonic plate in that area is submerging or sinking into the upper mantle of the Earth's crust, and water is starting to flow in. So in effect, what we are seeing in a very short period of time, what would usually have taken perhaps hundreds of thousands of years but is taking only decades now, is a new ocean or a large sea is being formed in that location. It gives off as the plate of the Earth decomposes into the surface. It does give off electromagnetic energies, which could sometimes fool people into thinking it's a Stargate, but really it is not. It's a natural occurrence that is happening there, possibly because of ELF and microwave bursts that are enhancing it. But it is not a Stargate. It is actual tectonic failure in that location.
Do stargates actually exist, though?
Stargates actually exist, but they're artificial. In other words, there's very few that are natural.
Mm-hmm.
They are usually artificially created with technology, and they do exist. In fact, there is one under Baghdad, which was one of the main reasons for the invasion of Iraq.
You know, I heard rumors about that way early in the invasion. Do you know if that Stargate has been excavated?
Yes. In fact, that happened in 2003. You know, you had heard stories, that we have all heard stories of so-called Planet X or Nibiru, which was coming back into our solar system, and was actually reported in January of 2000 in the front page of New York Times and LA Times, of some large object that was going contrary to the orbit around the sun, coming close to our planet. But in March of 2003, we invaded Iraq and Baghdad because of the stargates underneath there. This planet, this Nibiru, which was passing very close to Jupiter at that time, was literally destroyed in April of 2003, 1 month after Baghdad was invaded, to prevent those on that world from transferring to the stargates under Baghdad, which was their intention. So in effect, the war blocked these beings from coming to our planet. The planet was destroyed with pulse weapons, and in fact, NASA had a sun cam, which was on the internet, and you could literally see the large pieces or chunks of a planet flying into the sun. And if you recall, from around April 2003 up until relatively recently, there's been an awful lot of meteorites and pieces of large rock flying into our atmosphere and around our planet, which was reported on the news almost every other month. And that was remnants of the planet that was destroyed.
Wow. I got to tell you, that's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, that was on my website back in 2003.
Well, you see, pilot error. I missed that runway.
You're going to have to get a new pilot's license.
I guess I am. All right, so Nibiru is not on its way here anymore. It was, and we destroyed it
7 years ago.
Okay, well, now, if these people are spacefaring people, as we've been told, they obviously then have some alliances with other spacefaring civilizations. It would seem natural that they would. By destroying that planet, would we not have incurred the wrath of their allies?
Well, that's a very good question, and leads me to the next part of what you had asked earlier, and that was the large objects that had been photographed emerging from our sun,
mm-hmm.
Which was actually on the internet last month, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had talked for many, many years about a certain kind of science, a quantum science, that's not really taught anywhere, where I state that all universes, parallel universes, alternate realities, are all connected, the physical ones especially, with stars and black holes. Now, a black hole in one universe is a star in another universe, and vice versa. And energy passes in between the two, and that is literally how creation breathes or maintains balance between all the realities by having the interaction between the black holes and the sun. So, in effect, the sun is a stargate, and so are black holes. So if you enter a black hole in one universe, you exit a star in another universe. What we were seeing there on those photographs were the objects that were passing through our star as a stargate from another universe. Now, I have been writing for the last 18 months or so about what's going on in the Kuiper's Belt on the edge of our solar system, and I had stated that there is a large fleet or massing of objects literally ringing the solar system, and these objects that were coming through from the sun are joining that group. And in fact, my opinion is that in very short period of time, we may see some activity on our world coming from Kuiper's Belt. In fact, I think it's already begun in some locations. I think there's been a lot of sabotage on our planet from elsewhere. And those listeners out there who know about my work and have read my books and seen my DVDs, I have spoken a long time about a staged alien invasion that the Illuminati have been planning for our planet, which is in process at the moment. That staged alien invasion will use blue beam technology to make us believe we're being attacked. They will then eventually have an alien race or a savior race come to remove this attacker. And then, of course, it'll merge into a staged second coming of Christ, New World Religion, the Global Empire, all of that as one neat little package. However, a big wrench has been thrown into that plan with this Kuiper Belt massing, because the Illuminati hadn't planned on that, and I think they're a bit worried about it, and I think that they're speeding things up a bit and maybe making a few mistakes.
So they had not planned on a real invasion taking place, and yet it appears maybe one is impending. Would that be correct?
I'm sorry, I could not hear your last sentence.
I said they had not planned on a real alien invasion taking place, and yet now they are facing a real one that's impending.
That's correct. Actually, no one knows what the agenda is for these Kuiper Belt beings. No. Is that they've never seen anything like it before. You know, back in 2007, when CNN and Fox News and even BBC started reporting that objects were appearing in the Kuiper's Belt, it was literally almost every day that they would say, this is being seen and that's being seen and these objects are there, no one knows what they are. And it was around that time when people started to get suspicious. So a very brilliant cover story, they decided to say that, well, Pluto is one of those objects, and it's not really a planet. It's a planetoid, or it's a Kuiper's Belt object, and it's always been there. And they kind of defocused from the new ones that were being discovered and lumping it in what we already knew was out there. And that was to create a diversion so that people would not be suspicious of what's going on. And then lo and behold, somewhere around mid to end of 2008, they just stopped reporting on all these objects out there. One of the last things they said, that some of them were actually disappearing or moving in very odd directions. So,
well, look, in January 2009, up until then, scientists had access to data from our military spy satellites, certain types of data, so that they could try and detect incoming objects that would do a near flyby of the Earth, and try to, you know, be able to be on the lookout for anything that would be dangerous. In January 2009, the military pulled their clearance to have that data, just canceled it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other thing is that bombing of the moon that occurred last year, you know, the cover story was to see if water molecules would fly up into the moon's environment, and they can, well, of course they know what's on the surface of the moon. They don't need to bomb it to know if there's water molecules in there. What they were really doing was trying to destroy a Kuiper's Belt monitoring station or some kind of an object that was monitoring the Earth close up from the moon for the Kuiper's Belt. And that is why, as the spacecraft approached the moon, suddenly the screens went blank and you could not see what they were actually going to bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was only afterwards when it was all said and done, they were able to doctor up some pictures that they released a little bit of some of that activity, but they never really showed you what happened.
Well, and, you know, there's another thing that I thought was quite suspicious. The Indian Space Agency had a very successful satellite up there around the moon. It was called Chandrayaan-1.
Yes.
And it had been really super successful. It had accomplished 95% of everything it had been sent to do. In November of last year, it discovered water on the moon. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't release that information until, I believe it was, what was it, in December or January. Anyway, all of a sudden, the Chandrayaan-1 disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the first report, Stuart, the first article, they quoted the chief of the Indian Space Agency as saying it disappeared from radar.
Yeah.
All right. That statement was never in any subsequent articles. Now, I have, because I'm an old cop, you know, I just kind of have this thing, and that is when a black hole develops in the information, that's where the truth is.
Exactly.
And so that drew my attention to it. Okay, then after it disappeared, all the others say that it they lost their radio contact with it. But he originally said it disappeared from radar. And then he also said in that first article, we'll see if the U.S. or the Russians can locate it because they have very powerful radar. Well, then everybody started calling me and telling me, well, we don't have any radar that can reach the moon. Of course we do. We have radar photographs of the moon that were shot from Earth-based stations. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Stuart, when we cut away for break, I was just saying, you know, that Indian satellite had already confirmed that there's water on the moon, but that was not released until just before the La Crosse mission completed, and the Indian satellite disappeared. One wonders, what else did they discover that hasn't been released?
Well, you know, that reminds me back in the late 1980s when the Soviet spacecraft was approaching Mars, and it came close to the one of the moons of Mars, Phobos, and all of a sudden, the moon, or some object that looked like the moon, turned and faced the Soviet spacecraft. A large flash was seen by the cameras on the spacecraft, and that was the end of the spacecraft.
Right.
And, you know, it was very shortly after that that both moons of Mars vanished. And, of course, that has never been discussed in any of the conventional media.
Well, we're not very conventional here. Let's talk about that. I have heard that both moons have vanished, and then I have heard that they have not, that they are there. What's the story with that?
Well, those moons, as our own moon, are artificial. You know, the moon that we have on this planet is hollow. If you send a sonic resonance off the surface of the moon, it pings as a hollow object instead of thumping like a solid object.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already been admitted by NASA that the moon is not from our solar system. It came from elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, some of the rocks they brought back from the surface of the moon are older than the Earth.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
then, you know, interesting the story that they tell of how the moon was created, that it was a part of a collision between the Earth and an asteroid that created the moon.
But yeah.
Very nonsensical story.
So what's the story with these moons of Mars? Are they still not there? Are they AWOL?
Well, they haven't been there since the late 1980s. They just vanished. That was mentioned briefly on the news, and then it was never discussed again. And, you know, even now, you never hear any stories about it, any references made to it. It's just like they never existed.
Well, Buzz Aldrin made a reference to Phobos. I forget, he was on C-SPAN or something. And, he was saying, and this is before the president canceled the moon project. He said, we don't need to go back to the moon. We've been there. We've done that. Let's go to some other places. He said, for instance, he said, there is a monolith on the moon of Mars, on Phobos, this tiny little moon of Mars. And he said, it's a big structure. And he said, boy, when people find out about that, they're going to be asking who put that there. And he said that on TV. Would he not know that Phobos is gone?
Well, you know, people like that are put into public eye to drop little stories here and there to get people thinking about things. You know, the staged alien invasion would make a lot more sense to people if they believe that there were alien artifacts in our solar system. And I have nothing against Buzz Aldrin or any other of the astronauts, but many of them are told what to say in public and they actually given the stories to talk about in public in order to imprint into the psyche of people precursors to what's coming next.
Okay, so you would view his statement about the monolith on Phobos, which there are photographs of, but you would view that as one of those stories to get people thinking that direction instead of the moon.
Yes, I think it's a diversion from the moon because it is quite known, and if anyone who has a strong telescope on a full moon can look and see larger objects in the craters of the moon, movement, lights, there's activity going on up there, that's much closer to the Earth. And my opinion is that needs to be investigated first and not to being diverted from.
So now I'm kind of getting far afield of where we started, but I've just got to ask, do you think that the decision to cancel our return to the moon is because we have bases there that we don't need NASA poking around, or aliens have bases there that have perhaps given signals that they would have a hostile reception awaiting astronauts?
Well, it's a little bit of both. We have known about what's going on the moon since 1957. The Soviets and the Americans actually had joint projects to build bases up there. There are alien artifacts on the moon. In fact, there are debris fields on the moon that give evidence of some massive war or attack that had taken place there thousands of years ago. You know, there are huge objects on the surface of the moon, as well as on the planet Mars, too. I mean, Mars is a lot more Earth-like than they will have you believe. In fact, you can see in the Martian springtime greenery in the northern hemisphere of Mars, and they've already admitted that there was water on Mars. So there's a lot about the universe, our solar system, our planet, that is not being told to the public. People are being kept ignorant. Cover stories are given. Until such time as they deem it necessary to allow people to know some of what's going on. My feeling is that all of their plans are being screwed up right now because of what's going on in the Kuiper's Belt. They're being sabotaged on a lot of different in the categories of what's going on the Earth, including the CERN Hadron Collider that was sabotaged. I think politically we've been sabotaged. There's a lot of subversive activity that is not coming from here that is designed to undermine the Illuminati plans here. And my opinion is that the second half of 2010 is going to be quite volatile in many ways on this planet, and people who haven't woken up to what's going on are certainly going to be questioning what they're seeing and hearing.
Stuart, you talked about the Illuminati agenda, and you've been subjected to that personally.
Correct.
You were subjected to what we generally lump together as the Montauk Project, or sometimes MK Ultra. Mm-hmm. As having been subjected to that, were you exposed to any of these exotic technologies?
Oh, absolutely. In the Montauk Project, of course, they were involved in time travel, interdimensional studies, hyperspace activity, very super futuristic weaponry, genetic manipulation, a lot of things went on there. I was, of course, involved for the 13 years from 1970 to 1983. There is still activity in that location. However, it's not quite the same. It's basically now involving weather manipulation and space weaponry. The U.S. has many underground bases all over the place and even under the oceans, and lots of activities and experiments and projects are happening literally under everyone's nose, but no one's paying attention to it.
Why?
Well, first of all, they're very, very expertly covered up. There are a lot of cover stories that are given to people who have seen something strange. And, you know, the best place to hide something is right in the open, because you don't look for it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone once said the best place to hide a pebble is in a pile of rocks, because you're not going to look for it there. Well, the same thing with these projects. They hide them underneath the ground. They have admitted since 9/11 that they have underground bases, because if you recall on CNN, the day of the attacks, when President Bush was whisked away in the aircraft and flying all over the place trying to find the safety, they announced that perhaps he was being taken to the large underground city underneath West Virginia, which I had been talking about for at least a decade before that, but now was admitted on CNN. And in the months or weeks after the attack, they actually took the cameras to locations in Virginia and West Virginia where they said there were entrances into these underground cities, and that they had movie theaters, restaurants, everything you could possibly imagine down there. And weren't we lucky to have such a place in case the government on the surface was destroyed, that we would have the government continue underneath the ground? And wouldn't that make everybody happy?
Well, I'll tell you, we not only, if the reports are true, we not only have underground bases all over this country, but the U.S. has underground bases in other countries.
That's correct, too.
And now, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, there would be so many thousands of people involved with something like that, there's no way to keep it a secret. But there certainly is. I mean, they kept Area 51 a secret for a very long time, and I'm persuaded that it did not become something in the public eye until the insiders decided it was okay for that to happen.
Uh-huh.
And then there were leaks.
Correct. Correct. Carefully placed leaks with specific information.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very easy to cover up these things because, you know, these underground bases are very deep underneath the earth. Many of the entrances are located either in extremely remote locations and or underneath huge city areas where the entrances are in the sub-basements of large government buildings. So people just don't go to those locations. They don't see that. It's very simple. And after decades of having personnel and staff living in those locations that never see the light of day, there's an entire subculture, a sub-civilization within our own civilization that is occupying and running these locations and do not interact with people on the surface. So it's very, very easy to keep these things quiet.
Stuart, you were talking about the fact that they were using time travel during the years that you were being subjected to the programs at Montauk. Did you ever see that happen?
Yes, I was involved in it, and in fact I wrote about that in my book, Alien Connection, which was my personal experiences in the Montauk Project. You know, they literally used hundreds of thousands of people over the years.
Stuart, we have to step away for a break, but when we come back, I want to pick up right there. Folks, stay on the edge of your seat, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, and my guest this evening, Stuart Swerdlow. Stuart, when we went away for break, you just started telling us about your exposure to time travel technology.
Right, and people always question about how that is possible, and I do like to tell people that originally the technology did not come from here. In fact, it was given to the U.S. government by certain alien groups. The best technology was given by the beings from Sirius A, which apparently have the highest or most advanced technology that we were aware of. And so much of the Montauk equipment, especially that related to time travel, came from there. And to make it very simple as far as how is this accomplished, well, if we understand through quantum physics that every point in time and space is unique, so that no two points have exactly the same or identical frequency or vibration, then we can understand that when we take a person, place, or thing and vibrate that person, place, or thing to a specific frequency or vibration, it will instantaneously connect to the location that has that vibration. So, in effect, you cannot have two points with the same vibration in different locations. They must merge together. And that is how deep space travel and time travel and interdimensional travel take place, simply by vibrating a frequency to the same rate as the location you wish to travel to. And that's also what we learn from many of the vehicles that were either given or captured by the government, that they really were not spaceships. They really didn't travel through the universe the way you would see on the movies, but rather they went through frequency. They went into a hyperspace mode out of physical reality, and they simply appeared in the location where the vibratory rate was matched. So there's an instantaneous connection. You can travel billions of light years in an instant with that method.
One of the things that we've been hearing recently, now we've heard it before, but from other people, but recently we've been hearing from Andrew Basaggio, I think I said his name correctly, that he was subjected to this technology at Montauk, and that he has, in fact, been sent from here to Mars on several occasions. Now, we also heard, we've heard it called the jump room, but we've heard that from other individuals. Do you know anything about that? And if so, did you ever make that trip?
Yes, and I've written about that again in my books. Mars has a large underground area, just like the moon, just like a lot of locations do. And in the technology I just previously mentioned, if you were to send an anchor, was what they called it, or in other words, it's a piece of equipment that is anchored in the location you want to go to, so that there is always a connection from where you are to that location, you can create a wormhole where you literally step from one location to the other in a split second. And these jump rooms or these travel rooms, you would just enter, calibrate to the anchor of where you're going, and you would just go walk right into it. There's a very large base in the center of Australia, which is completely connected to the underground in Mars. And that is it's not really a stargate, it's more like a wormhole. A wormhole is traveling from point A to point B within the same physical universe. It's a shortcut within the same physical universe, whereas a vortex, it would be interdimensional.
Okay. Now, did you ever make that trip to Mars?
Yes, I did.
So you don't have any questions then as to the veracity of this because you've experienced it. Now, when you go to this base on Mars, in Mars, who's there? Is it humans? And if so, from what nations? Or is it extraterrestrials? And from where?
The base itself, or the, I should say, the underground area, is extremely ancient, and it was alien. However, when I was there, when Montauk Project was connected to that, there were human beings there. There were people from the Earth that were occupying that location, trying to start up the technology, learn what it was, etc. And there were also, occasionally, and I didn't see it a lot, there were alien beings who were there assisting in this, but also for their own agenda. And that is something that I think people should know, because I hear so many stories, countless stories of how these or some of these aliens are benevolent and they're here to upgrade the Earth and help human beings. That's just a bunch of malarkey. All the beings that are here from elsewhere have their own agenda. They have no interest in helping humanity. They have only an interest in using humanity and this planet because of its location. And there is no love, light, and peace out there. In fact, the universe is quite a hostile environment.
How many times were you there?
I was there at least three times. And, you know, it was something that you had to prepare for. You can't just go there. The first time it was experimental for me to see if I could tolerate that kind of a condition. You know, there were very, very few people who were able to live after being used in the experiments at Montauk because it was energetically difficult on the body. The cellular structure of human beings or of most living creatures are not designed to experience that kind of transmissions like this, to go from the physical to the energetic and back to the physical. It's very difficult on the body. And you have to have a certain kind of genetics. You have to have a certain kind of stamina. And it's not meant for everyone, just like not everybody can be a deep-sea diver and not everybody is going to be an astronaut. Well, not everybody can do time travel easily. You have to be conditioned properly, prepared for it properly, and it takes a bit of time.
And what was the purpose? Why? Because let me say this for folks that may or may not know much about you, or especially those that may not know a whole lot about you. You are clairvoyant, but you don't do remote viewing. So what you do is different.
From hyperspace work.
Yeah, and I've watched the videos on that, and it's fascinating. But look, there had to be a reason. What was the reason they were sending you?
Well, you know, my family background, for those who are not aware, my family was heavily involved in the Soviet Union. My great uncle was the first president of the Soviet Union. My grandmother was a spy for the Soviet Union. My grandfather was sent to the U.S. to help start the Communist Party. So the loyalty of my family in this country was questioned, and so, quite honestly, my physical body was genetically manipulated before my birth. You know, it's a very long story, but my birth is in the medical books. I should not have been born. And that's a whole nother story. But suffice it to say that my abilities were enhanced even before my birth, and I was used specifically for these experiments because the loyalty of my family was questioned, and it was really a matter of doing that or not surviving.
So then basically they were using you as a guinea pig.
Correct. That is correct. But the interesting thing that happened, or the anomalous thing that happened, is that I survived, and I wasn't supposed to survive. So I became an enigma to be studied even further. And because of the experiments, for 29 years of my life, I was physically blind. I could not see physically.
All right, Stuart, we have to step away for a break, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. We are talking this evening with Stuart Swerdlow, and welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. Shame on you for skipping the universe of the first hour, unless it was unavoidable. But anyway, Stuart, when we went away for break, you were just beginning to tell us about that you had been blind for 29 years. Now, is this as a result of the time travel, or is this, were you blind before that?
No, that was part of the experiments. What they were trying to do on one end of it was to create a person who could see into other realities without the use of a device, to literally to become a machine or a device, a human one that could go interdimensionally at will. And so in order to do that, they removed a lot of the physical senses of the physical reality so that the non-physical would become more powerful. And so I was able to see energy fields, DNA, I could see the aura, colors in hyperspace, symbols that would emanate from the God mind, and what they called hyperspace level, and then they wanted to create a dictionary of those colors and those symbols so that they could create formulas energetically that could be used to create or manifest physically on the earth plane. And that was another aspect of the Montauk Project.
Okay, I'm still unclear, though. Were you blind prior to the time travel or after?
No, it was during the process of the Montauk experiment.
Okay, so they made you blind.
Correct.
But now you can see.
Yes, I actually a little over 10 years ago now, had surgery to correct that. so that I could see physically as well.
All right. Now, in just a moment, we're going to open up the telephone lines for our audience to participate with us. But before I do that, I want to explore back here on Earth again some of the things that are going on. I had asked at the beginning of the show, I mentioned several things, you know, it seems like the planet's just sort of gone insane. We've got all these earthquakes happening, and I didn't even mention that 1,771 earthquakes, swarm of earthquakes, took place in January in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And that's about a third of their yearly average. And so we've got that. And then we've got, you know, a tremendous unrest. We can see it right now. It's reached the boiling point and has boiled over with the students in these demonstrations, massive demonstrations in several states today. We're seeing this kind of boiling point being reached now also with the Tea Party. And I'm not interested in the politics of it, of either of those, but what I'm interested in is there something outside of us that's causing those effects here on the planet?
Well, again, I had written about that just a little while ago on my website. When Sarah Palin made that speech to the Tea Party convention, and she called for a new revolution in the United States. Now, of course, on the surface, one would say, well, she was talking about taxes and revamping that kind of thing. But underlying all of that, if you know about mind control and programming, she was giving an activation to those in our country and elsewhere to take it seriously to create a new revolution in this country. And it was right after that that we started seeing all of these civil problems all around the world. We saw shootings in this country. We saw one today. We see these student demonstrations. This is just the beginning. As I mentioned in my website a week or so ago, I said, that's just the beginning. We're going to see these homegrown terrorists, so-called terrorists, all over the United States now and elsewhere. And the ultimate agenda, what we're going to see forming from this is the North American Union, where Canada, the United States, and Mexico will join together. As you would see the EU and those countries joining together, perhaps each country keeping its national identity, but yet under one economy, one political system, etc. And that's basically what the Tea Party is about.
All right. We are going to open up the telephone lines. And let me give you folks the telephone numbers. For those who are watching our TV channel, the numbers are appearing on your screen. For those listening by radio, computers, cell phones, iPods, however it is you're listening, the main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number in the USA and Canada, if you need to call me toll-free, you can. It is 888-223-4599. If you are somewhere else in the world, you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, and you don't want to make the international long distance call, what you can do is go to my website, that's kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message. Just click that, and you can send me your question or comment, and I will, provided we have time, read it on the air. Once in a while, folks, I get so many of those that we can't get to them all. But don't let that stop you. I'll get as many in as I can. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi. this is a bit mind-boggling to listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I got a ton of questions, so I'm trying to focus in on one of them. I'll just make one comment, which you might take offline, and that is, just because a moon or a planet is hollow doesn't necessarily mean that it's artificial. But leave that one offline. The question I want to ask is, someone like Stewart, given the process that he's been through,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to imagine myself in Stewart's situation, and I'm thinking, well, if, like, what's the earliest memory? You know, like, can you imagine being birthed, or shortly after being birthed, or, you know, like in that situation, I would be wondering, well, exactly what memories are my own, or what's involved in a process that I've been through, that kind of thing.
Okay, let's let him respond.
Like you're,
go ahead, Stewart. What's your earliest memory, and how do you know what memories are yours and which ones have been programmed?
Well, that's a very good question, and if you have read anything about me, you would know that I spent decades doing deprogramming work to regain my memories. But the anomalous thing that happened with me in the project was that I always retained my memories. They could not mask them, and that is why they studied me the way they did, because it was anomalous. Most people were very easily programmed, were able to have masked memories put on, etc., virtual memories from the matrix of the programming. But I was able to have my full retention of all my experiences. And so by studying me and learning about why I was able to retain my memories, they were then able to develop methods or even chemical compounds, if you will, to override those for people. I was basically a problem to them, and of course I still am. My earliest memories go way back, of course, before this current lifetime, and it's very, very much to talk about. That's that whole other show right there. But I remember every single thing that happened to me in this lifetime, and even many of the ones that happened before this lifetime. In my book, Montauk Alien Connection, I describe how I came into this world, what my memories were, why I was in the family that I was chosen to be with, etc. Yes, and that is why I teach deprogramming techniques so that people can get back their original and natural memories and eliminate the mask memories and program virtual realities that exist inside their matrix.
All right. John, thanks for the call. Great, great.
And if I can make a comment about Vancouver Island, if I
sure.
can.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dangerous place right now. I'm sure that many of you have read that the scientists studying the earthquake in Chile have stated that the other location on our planet that is similar to that is the Pacific Northwest, and that a very large catastrophic quake is absolutely going to occur at some point, possibly in the near future, that will affect Vancouver Island all the way down to Northern California. So anyone living in those locations need to take proper precautions.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they said it's about 300 years overdue.
That's correct. And as we can see, if you look at the USGS maps, it's very volatile at the moment.
All right, back to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, I just want to say that I'm really enjoying the show. And I just had two quick questions, and then I'll hang up.
All right.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, if you have clairvoyance, that means you're probably deep and spiritual. So I guess this is kind of a set/tone back from going into the technological secret area. What's your favorite color, and what's your favorite number, and why? Thank you very much, sir.
Well, those are very strange questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess my favorite color would be violet because it's a protection color. And I use that in my hyperspace techniques. And my favorite number is 5 because that is a healing number, healing energy. And the number 5 comes up in my life very frequently.
All right. Let's let me get to a flash message from Australia. This is, let's see, who is this from? This is from Andrew in Australia. Hi, Stuart. Most of the material you've spoken about tonight can be found on websites such as Above Top Secret, Godlike Productions, Project Camelot, etc., etc. Can you provide us with the source of your information? Because with all due respect to you, it sounds like a lot of your material is sourced through the Internet, which is questionable as to its reliability at best. To know about a Stargate under Iraq, for instance, and the La Crosse mission and blowing up the so-called Nibiru, you would need to have some very highly ranked informants. Okay.
Well, obviously a person writing that in knows nothing about me. My information comes from me. I very rarely go on other sites. The ones that they mentioned I've actually never been on. If you read my books, you'll know where my information came from, you know. And I do have contacts inside certain organizations globally that do give me information that I reveal on my news updates on a daily basis. I have extensive contacts because of my background and because of the experiences that I had. I don't read information from other people. I don't watch television. I don't search the net for things. I do my own work, and anyone wants to question me, they can question me. That's their prerogative. I just tell you what I know, and it's up to you to accept it or reject it.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mimi in Austin.
Hello, Mimi in Austin.
Hi. I want to know if Stuart could tell me, was the blindness caused by modification in utero? And also, I'd like to know if he has any idea how many of us have been programmed. And I'll listen off the phone.
Okay, Mimi, is this the first time you've called us?
Yes, sir.
Well, we have to play you some applause.
Can you repeat that first question about in utero? I could not get that word.
Yeah, the blindness, was this caused in utero? And then the second question is how many of us are programmed?
No, as I mentioned, the blindness occurred because of my work in the project, in Montauk Project, the microwave electromagnetic energies. Supposedly one of the side effects was the blindness, but my feeling is it was purposely done. How many of us are programmed? 100% of the Earth is programmed. We can thank satellite transmissions, television, radio, cell tower, microwave tower. Every human being on this planet has some form of programming and mind control across the board.
That's kind of ominous.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
Good. How are you, Stefan?
Great, great. Fantastic show. Mr. Swerdlow, I agree with pretty much everything you said, but I do want to ask you a question regarding one thing. You said out there were no benevolent or empathic beings towards Earth. Where do you mean by out there?
Well, in the universe, in existence, we know that beings who are benevolent and have only good intentions do not interfere. They don't come here. You know, there's a Chinese saying that goes, when you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. When you teach him how to fish, you feed him for life. The benevolent beings know that we have created our own circumstances here, and by interfering, they're not helping, but they're just encouraging victimization mentality. We, as a species, need to overcome our victimization and to undo the mind patterns that created the situation so that it will never happen here again. And so only
I differ with that in the sense that all of our religions are supposedly influenced and guided by them, but I just think it's a really blanket statement to say that nobody has empathy towards the Earth out there in the entire universe. I can't agree with that.
Well, he didn't say that. What he said was the ones that have empathy are not the ones who have come here.
They're not interfering.
So in other words, Jesus and all those other masters were not acting out of love.
Well, you see, you're going into religion, and
religion is a part of it, Mr. Swerdlow.
Sorry?
Religion is a part of this.
No, it is not.
Spirituality
religion
in general
is a form of mind control. And
spirituality
was one of the first mind control.
Okay, you guys, you have to give each other time to respond to each other. Okay, Stuart, go ahead.
Religion is a form of mind control. It was a way for a group of small people to control a vast majority of people and to tell them that they could not communicate with God except through them. That's what the church was all about. That's what all religions are about. God mind has no religion. There is no set form of worship for the God mind. It's within each one of us. And there is no religion. Religion is restrictive. You know, to say that God is this or God is that, that's putting a very strong limit on the vastness and infiniteness of God mind. God is within each one of us, and how we interpret that is individual.
I believe that because I come from an indigenous culture and we had no religion prior to 500 years ago. But I do acknowledge that certain people that came here to teach and help humanity evolve were not acting out of indifference or hate. They must have been acting out of love. And that these people might have had connections with other people from other realms, even worlds or dimensions. So I can't accept that blanket statement that you made earlier. I do agree with most of the things you said otherwise.
I would ask you to look at the result of religion on this planet and then perhaps reevaluate your perception of that.
Well, I think religion, when it's when it has a base in morality, is actually good, that it provides a moral path for people. And spirituality can easily become a religion as well. A lot of the spiritual movements today could become religions in the next 10, 15 years.
Well, that would be very sad if they would take spiritual ideas and then categorize them into a religion that would become controlled. You know, my opinion is that religion has not had a very beneficial effect. In fact, it's had the opposite. People kill in the name of Jesus. People kill in the name of Allah. This is not love, light, and peace. This is mind control and programming.
All right, Stefan, have to move on because of the timer on the system. But I want to thank you for the call. And as you know, folks, even you know, if you agree with something or disagree, we as long as you're civil about what you say, and Stefan certainly was, we practice freedom of speech, and you can say what's on your mind. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex from Miami.
Hello, Rex.
Yeah, Stuart, I wanted to ask you, what's your take on alien abductions, about who's doing it, the purposes, and so forth?
Did you say alien abductions?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I've talked about this quite extensively. Most of what is so-called abductions on this planet is done by government. True, yes, the technology is alien. However, in the last 40 years or so, most of the abductions have been done by government. And in fact, many of the people who relate their abduction experiences talk about army personnel standing next to the aliens, or even alien beings removing a costume and there's a human being underneath it. So unfortunately, a lot of what's going on out there is from here, not from some extraterrestrial source. Although I cannot say that's 100%, but it's the vast majority of it.
Okay, so what would be the motive then, that the government would be doing it?
Well, the motive is to see how mind control affects the physical body, how it is genetically induced and can be replicated into offspring, how the implants affect the organs and nervous systems of the body. There's many, many reasons why they would check a physical body in an abduction experience to see the results of what they're trying to accomplish on the Earth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, well, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Okay, we have from Australia, we have a flash message from Carl, and it says, I guess Phobos is back. Mars Express just carried out a successful close flyby of the Martian moon Phobos. And then he gives me a link. He said, possibly no one talks about the vanishing moons of Mars anymore because they are still there? Question mark. A few weeks ago, a rare photo was obtained by the satellite capturing both moons. Pardon me. Both moons of Mars in one frame. However, latest data still suggests Phobos is less dense than expected by 25 to 30% porous, a rubble pile with large spaces. Interesting. All right. You can respond to that if you want to, but we have to go to break first, and then we'll be back. Folks, don't go away. And we are back. My guest this evening is Stuart Swerdlow. Stuart, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence, but the floor is yours.
No, you were mentioning about that satellite imagery of the moons of Mars.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, anything that comes from a government satellite that could possibly be doctored up, I don't trust it. You know, just like they always do with the surface of Mars and the moon, the photographs that they release to the public, the images they release, are usually not accurate. They don't give it to you in real time. They give it to you days or weeks or months later when they've been altered.
Okay. Let's go to the telephone. I've got another flash message or two. We'll do the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Alvin, and I'm calling from Miramar, Florida.
Okay, Alvin.
Yes, Stuart, I've read much of your work, True Blood, Blue Blood, and Montauk Project, and my first question is, how do we know which reality that we're in? Because, you know, there's people that are oblivious to what's going on around them. You know, they can't see past their first paycheck. So how are they able to wake up to what's happening?
That's a very good question. And I've been asking that one to myself for a long time now. And unfortunately, we live in a society that is designed to keep us so worried about our next paycheck and about making the mortgage payments and having our car and keeping our jobs that most people really don't care about everything else that's going on out there. And I can't say that I blame them when their lives are really in precarious situations. Unfortunately, I feel that the circumstances on the Earth will become so severe, so blatant, that even such people who are not woken up, as you say, will have no choice but to think and see that something is not correct and that everything that they believe to be true is in fact quite the opposite. And little by little, I think that we are seeing that happen, and unfortunately, it's going to get worse as this year goes on.
Oh, okay, but do you think it would be too late as it gets worse? Because, you know, there is such a thing as being too late.
Well, I don't know. You know, some people say it's never too late. you know, even till the last moment. If everybody puts their mind pattern together as a species, they can easily overcome what's going on. You know, I always say if tomorrow morning everybody woke up and had released all their victimization, then none of this can happen. Then everything can go back to the way it's supposed to be. Of course, that's unlikely that it'll occur. And yes, not everybody's going to make it. Not every place is going to be okay. But we have to also understand that each of us creates our own reality. I use the analogy that the thoughts are like film, the brain is the projector, and physical reality is the screen. So if you don't like the movie that you're seeing or in, you need to change the film, which is the way you think. And if people change their mind patterns and do their release work, then they can have a better life despite what's going on around them.
All right. Alvin, I want to thank you for the call. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know what we do for first-time callers? A little bit of applause. And, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. It was supposed to play applause. Another pilot error. Alvin, don't wait long. Call us again, okay?
I will.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah. You know, Stuart, one of the things that it seems so difficult to get people to understand something that appears to be so easy, and that is change the way you think.
Yeah.
That does. It seems like it's very difficult for people to grasp that that concept really can make changes in your what you encounter and how you encounter it. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Okay, Gary.
Good evening, Stuart.
You're going to have to speak up, Gary. We can barely hear you.
I can hardly hear you.
Good evening, Stuart. You've brought quite a bit to the table, and I know you've made reference to your website. Could you please give us the address?
Oh, yes. My website is expansions.com, and on there you'll find news updates, Q&As, every kind of topic you can imagine related to what we're talking about tonight. We do seminars, consultations. We have all books, DVDs, everything that people will need to help themselves learn about what's going on with the world and how to keep themselves in protection and deprogram themselves.
Thank you very
much. We also have a free weekly newsletter called Meds, which you can sign up for and receive every week.
All right. And this is a good place for me to point it out. As always, each and every night, if you click the guest picture on my website, it will take you to their website. So if you forget, expansions, it's .com, right? Expansions.com?
Right.
If you forget that, go to my website and click his picture. It'll take you to his website. All right, 623-444-5889 is the telephone number, the main number here in the studio. And the toll-free number, if you need it, is 888-223-4599. Stuart, it's a natural thing. Even for folks who are very open-minded, it's a natural thing when we hear something that's on the edge of our own experience for us to question, well, how real is that? And, you know, the thing is, much of what you have shared with us tonight, we've heard similar experiences, similar things from other people. Down through the years, it's not just one voice saying these things. We're hearing it from multiple sources, which should lend, you know, at least enough credibility to it to make the most skeptical raise at least one eyebrow and say, maybe there's something to it. All right, let's go back to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mark from Ohio. I have three questions I'll ask and hang up and listen off the air.
All right.
Stuart, can you discuss the Christ and did you visit that time? Second, can you discuss our relationship to the reptilians that first settled the earth? And finally, can you discuss the origins of the human race in the Lyrian star system? And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Okay, well, pick one of those, because if he discusses all of those, we can't get all of the other callers in. So pick which one you want him to address.
Why don't you discuss the Christ, and did you visit that time?
Okay.
Thank you.
The Christ, can you please?
Yeah, discuss the Christ, and did you visit that time period?
Yes, and part of the Montauk Project, I did visit that time period, and I wrote about that in a chapter in my autobiography. Of course, you know, Kevin, I do hope that people will do their own research for themselves, and they can make a decision whether or not they wish to accept or reject anything. But I will say that the Christ figure was a genetic manipulation, and in fact that was written about in a very old manuscript called the Talmud of Emmanuel, which was discovered in Jerusalem many years ago, and then the Israelis tried to destroy it, and Christianity tried to destroy it because it undermines religion. It basically says that the Christ figure was created by alien beings and part of the purpose of his existence was to manipulate certain segments of humanity at the time, which were, of course, all of humanity was and is an experiment by beings who are not from here. You can go to the city of Srinagar in the province of Kashmir between Pakistan and India, and there you will find a grave which is heavily guarded, that is the grave of Emmanuel of Israel. And on the grave it says he lived to be 117 years old, and that quite honestly the crucifixion was a staged event. After that happened, he was sent to India with his oldest son. He was married to Mary Magdalene, had three children. It's a very long, complicated story. I just recently, 2 years ago, did a documentary on this where we traced the Mary Magdalene lineage to the south of France and the rest of Europe. That documentary will be released hopefully before the end of this year. There's a lot about the religious figures that we've heard about over the years, which is not exactly the way the religious institutions would like us to believe. Much of the New Testament was rewritten during the Roman Empire to create a global religion at the time. That's why I mentioned to the other caller that religion really is a form of mind control. It's one of the oldest forms of mind control, which does not give each individual the ability to understand their spiritual nature of their own, but rather told how they should believe in it and how they should connect to the God mind within. And I have a problem with that.
You know, Stuart, one of the things that I have taken heat for over the years, even before I did the show, I've been doing the show now for, in May, it will be 10 years. And even before then, I was making statements like I'm about to make. And each time I make this statement, I get invited to visit hell. I get email where people tell me I ought to just die and go on to hell. And so I've gotten three of those from evangelical preachers. But here's the deal. I'm not an enemy of the Bible, and the deal is, what is the enemy of the Bible can be summed up in this word: theologians. Everyone who writes his opinions about what he thinks that means, that's a theologian. And then churches form around those theologians. And religion, sometimes it's not a church, but it's religious groups form around those theologians, and they say, well, we think he's got it right. Well, here's my question. Who asked anybody to check their mind at the door? Folks, you're not stupid. You can read. You can read the Bible for yourself, and it just says what it says. When we come back, I'll finish that statement, and then we'll continue with phone calls and Stuart Swerdlow. Welcome back. We are on Final Approach. Let me complete what I started to say. Folks, you're not stupid. Far from it. Why do you need a theologian to think for you? You don't go get a journalist to interpret the newspaper for you. Why do you get a theologian to interpret the Bible for you? Just read it. It's an ancient document, a collection of ancient documents. Just read it. Now, if you do, you're going to discover that the God that is spoken of in that Bible is an extraterrestrial. Now, every time I say that, Stuart, I get a cascade of email, and I'll get it this time. But, folks, all you have to do is ask yourself this question. This God that's in the Bible, is he from here? I mean, according to your Bible, is he from here? Now, if he's not, then he's extraterrestrial. Terrestrial is... Terra is, what is that, Latin for Earth. Okay, so if he's not from Earth, he is from off Earth. He's extraterrestrial. Now, if your Bible is true, and I'm fully aware of the fact that a great many people believe that the Bible is true, it's a word of God, and I'm not attacking that. But if it is true, it says that Jesus' daddy was this God. He's an extraterrestrial. It says his mother was Mary, a terrestrial. That makes him a what? Hybrid.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and burn my inbox to the ground. But that is just very simple, easy logic. All right. 623-444-5889 is the main telephone number. And the toll-free number in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. If you have a calling plan where you can call me without it costing you anything, then please use our main number, 623-444-5889. Stuart, you see any problem with what I just said?
Oh, not at all. In fact, I'd like to add something to that.
All right.
And that is, you know, people might be aware of the Bible code information where the first five books of Moses were actually put through a computer,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of other information came out from that, including geometric shapes, which corroborate the hyperspace archetypes that I talk about and write about, that there is actually proof that the Bible's coded and could not really be understood until the age of computers, when it can be deciphered mathematically and geometrically.
Mm-hmm. That and the Bible code now is just fascinating. And, you know, Isaac Newton believed strongly that it was encoded and worked most of his adult life on trying to figure out the code, but he just didn't have a computer. Let's take our final call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, if the Bible was mind control, do you think it was good mind control? Because people know that stealing other people's money will put you behind bars and with two slippers on and stuff. And So I don't see anything wrong with that type of mind control, as long as people are not hurting other people. But I know we're short on time, and I wanted to ask you, what do we see in the future coming up? What's going to, are we ever going to see any, I mean, is there anything coming up in the future that we see happening? Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I didn't say the Bible is mind control. I said religion is.
Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference.
Yeah, please listen to what I say or read properly, because a lot of misinterpretations out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next thing is, what's coming up? A whole bunch of stuff, and not all of it is very pleasant. As Kevin said, earthquake activity has increased. Yellowstone, there is something going on over there. Notice how they quickly stopped the reports of the earthquakes recently. There is a 400-mile plume of magma coming to the surface, which is being pushed from the subduction zones of the West Coast. What we just saw in Chile and Japan and Taiwan recently is baby stuff compared to what's coming up. We also have, as I mentioned earlier, a North American Union being formed. We have also a staged alien invasion, a new world religion. My gosh, there's so many things coming up. Does that mean we run and hide and stay in the closet? No. We need to take control of our own minds. I urge everybody out there to get a grip on themselves, to deprogram themselves, do their release work, keep themselves in protection, not be afraid of what you hear on the news, because most of it is not true anyway. We are very powerful. Each one of you is powerful. You have the God mind within you. Use it. Use that 97% of your DNA that you're not using. Use that 90% of your brain you're not using. If you do that, then none of this is going to matter to you, because you'll be able to control and create your own future and life the way you want it to be.
You know, there are so many people that get a glimpse, and so many people in our genre of broadcasting that get a glimpse of some of this stuff that's coming without getting a glimpse of the answer to so what. And the answer to that question, so what, is very, very important. One of the things that happens is there are many, many prophecies and many seers now saying that December the 21st, 2012 is when the earth goes to hell in a handbasket. But, you know, Stuart, I could be dead wrong about this, but here it is. December the 21st, 2012 is the end of an era according to the Mayan calendar. So I think that all of these things that are going on that you're talking about, and that you're talking about, they will increase, and it's going to get rough. I think that's going to happen right up till December 21st, 2012. And then the era ends. The paradigm has died. And we're into a new era, and things begin to settle back down after that. I think that marks the end of a very turbulent period. What do you think?
I agree with you. And in fact, a Mayan priest recently said that on December 22nd, 2012, he'll just be getting up, pouring a cup of coffee, and watching TV like he always does.
I'm going Christmas shopping in Bangkok.
Yeah.
Stuart?
Yeah.
We're almost out of time. I got to tell you, I'm having a party in Bangkok December the 21st, 2012. Okay. And we're going to broadcast live, and if there's any possible way for you to travel to Bangkok at that time, you're invited to the party.
Terrific. I'll be there.
All right. Stay on the line with me for a moment as I bring tonight's show to a conclusion, and I'd like to speak with you for just a moment after the show, and I want to thank you for being with us. It's been absolutely marvelous.
Well, thank you.
All right. Folks, on this show, we all have opinions, all of us. And on this show, you get to express them. You will not agree with everything that I say. You will not agree with everything Stuart says. And you won't agree with everything other callers say. But doesn't it feel good to have a place where you can say it and it's okay? Well, that's what we're all about. We are all about giving you free expression. And I want to thank everyone who called in this evening. There were so many who tried to get in and just didn't get in. Keep trying. You'll make it sooner or later. It's a popular show. The lines are busy. But thank you to each of you who called in. Ask your questions and stated your case. I want to thank also everyone who sent us a flash message. And thank you for expressing yourself and stating your case. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.